morning. Good morning. I'm Kevin Johnson, pastor here at Macedonia United Methodist Church. It is a joy to welcome you this morning. We continue in our series called Now What? This morning in our Easter season. This morning we're going to be focusing on being now what is inclusive. And so we will hear from the book of Acts as we continue through that story today. I do want to invite you back this afternoon at 4 o'clock. There is a wonderful concert that Nancy Gerst has prepared in conjunction with A Touch of Brass, which is a voluntary group that practices here. They've played with us before, and they do amazing work as a brass quintet. Nancy also will be premiering a piece that she has written that looks amazing called Excursions. It is a 6-movement piece for brass and organ. Y'all know that Nancy makes things come out of that have never come out of that before. And so we look forward to what that will be this afternoon. So I do invite you to come. If you have any friends who appreciate fine music, there is no doubt that it will be very fine here this afternoon. And it's really an exciting way for us to reach to our community in a way that, Nancy lives out a personal mission statement that says, make God's praise glorious. And we know about her faithful walk of discipleship, and about her desire to make excellent music with that, and what she does with us, is incredible. So so for that we give thanks. So I do invite you back this afternoon at 4 for that concert, and just a great opportunity. There will be a free will offering that will go towards the Methodist Home for Children, especially as a specific response to all of the gun violence and things that our country has seen. This is a positive and proactive way to support a wonderful ministry that operates right out of Raleigh. And if you know anything about the Methodist Home for Children's work, it is not short of incredible, the work they do in supporting foster adoption services and early childhood development and all sorts of things. So I share that with you, just encourage you to be back today. Acts 10, verse 44, Peter is speaking. Peter speaks a lot in the first half of Acts, but in this case, Peter is delivering the tail end of his sermon that has just happened before Cornelius. And we'll talk more about who Cornelius is in the sermon, but suffice it to say that Cornelius was an Italian centurion. Keyword, Italian. And centurion, not a Jew, not one of God's chosen. And this is really Peter's first foray into preaching to Gentiles. And we will see what God does in this story. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?" He directed that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay for several days. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Disney movie Moana that came out in the last couple of years, this is where my life is. I'm sorry, but if you haven't seen Moana, it is awesome. It's on Netflix. Go home and watch it today. It's really good. And specifically about the idea about young women being called to something, it's awesome. It's a powerful girl power story, and I'm all about those too. So go home and watch Moana. But in that movie, Moana's dad at the beginning, he's the chief of their local tribe on the small Hawaiian island. Okay, and Moana's dad is afraid of venturing out beyond the reef. And so the fishing that they do is all local, and he wants their tribe to stay all together because they are safe that way. He wants Moana then, when she becomes chief of the tribe, to become just like him, to do it just like him. But Moana has this desire to go deeper into the waters because Moana is blessed with the spirit of her ancestors who were voyagers. They weren't just people who stayed. They were people who went out and explored. And I want to encourage you to listen to a piece of this song from Moana, where Moana's father is telling her how he wants her to rule and is trying to give her comfort because he knows that she wants to stray out a little bit. And so I encourage you to just listen to this a little bit.
Moana, make way, make way. Moana, it's time you knew the village of Motunui is all you need. The dancers are practicing, they dance to an ancient song.
Who needs a new song to show what's all we need?
This tradition is our mission, and Moana, there's so much to do. Don't trip on the terror route, that's all you need. We share everything we make, we joke and we weave our baskets. The fishermen come back from the sea. Don't walk away, Moana, stay on the ground now. Our people will need a chief, and there you are. There comes a day when you're gonna look around and realize happiness is where you are. Consider the coconut,
the what?
Consider its trees. Each part of the coconut, that's all we need.
We make our nets from
we
the
make our nets from
the water
fibers.
Is sweet inside.
We
use the leaves to build fires.
Cook
up the meat inside.
Consider the coconuts, the trunks and the leaves.
The island gives us what we need.
That's right, we stay. We're safe and we're well provided. And when we look to the future, there you are. You'll be okay. In time you'll learn just as I did. You must find happiness right where you are.
So now you'll be singing that the rest of the day. Thank you. You're welcome if you haven't really seen it. It is... Did you hear these words that he gives to her, right? Don't walk away. This is little toddler Moana saying, I want to see. And she wants to get out into the ocean. He says, don't walk away, Moana. Stay on the ground now. Our people will need a chief. And there you are. And then later on, when she's a teenager, she grows really quick in the song. And she says, and no one leaves. And he says, that's right, we stay. We're safe. And we're well provided, and when we look to the future, there you are. For Moana's father, leaving the island meant death, or at least unnecessary risk. Leaving the tribe was not encouraged. And in an age of uncertainty, even the age of anxiety that we live in today, I would argue that we are in a heightened age of anxiety today. We are afraid to leave our islands. We tend to cling to our tribes. The people who look like us and think like us are our tribes. And we tend to think that everyone else is wrong and on the outside. Peter has just had a miraculous vision, and he can't believe what he is saying or doing. Peter is praying. That's what it says. He went up at noontime to pray, and he gets hungry. So he starts daydreaming about food. You've never done this before. When Peter dreamed about food, he dreamed about kosher food, roasted lamb, delicious vegetables, never anything that would be considered unclean. Sort of like when you're on a diet or you're really hungry and you daydream about all the comfort foods you like a delicious deep dish Chicago-style pizza or a big steaming plate of biscuits and gravy. Or even a cookout milkshake. An entire bucket of fried chicken. Anyways, Peter starts dreaming about food and has a dream about a sheep being lowered from heaven. And inside the sheet are all sorts of wild animals and reptiles and wild birds. Probably none of these were considered clean for a Jew to eat. And then a voice booms, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter responds, "No way, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean or impure." And the voice speaks back to Peter, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." And this happens three times. Lots of things happen three times for our brother Peter. It takes him a while. And simultaneously, literally at the exact same time, it says a man named Cornelius, this Italian centurion, has a vision that there's this man named Peter, and he's staying at a tanner's house in Joppa. And he sends for Peter. And the experience that we are reading about, where the Spirit falls on the Gentiles in the same way it did at Pentecost, it follows up on this encounter with Cornelius. And Cornelius has gathered his non-Jewish friends and his family to come and meet Peter and hear him. An Italian soldier, a centurion, worked for the enemy. Not only that, Peter's a Jew who is supposed to stay distinct and separate from other peoples. Preservation of the tribe for a Jew is a must. But Peter knows that God was doing something in his dream. The dream was way too vivid, way too strange, way too like he was hearing a word from God. So he tells Cornelius before he starts preaching in the beginning of meeting them, "You all realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. However, God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean. For this reason, when you sent for me, I came without objection." Friends, these words are convicting. I should never call a person impure or unclean. We live in a world that is continually at odds with one another. Social media is used like a tribal gathering spot wherein we constantly call the other side impure or unclean, and our friends give us thumbs up and like it when we do so. In tribalism, we make sure that there are clear winners and clear losers, and we want to be on the winning side. And it's easier to throw barbs at a whole nother tribe because they have lost their faces as individuals who are created in the image of God. Yet Peter has been taught, "God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean." And Peter hears the story of how Cornelius had this vision and how he sent for him. And then he preaches to Cornelius and his friends about Jesus, about this resurrected Lord. And Peter begins his sermon with these words. He says, "I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group or another, to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him." God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Did you hear that? We could just say the word of the Lord, I could send you out. God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Can we say that enough times today? And then during Peter's sermon, the Holy Spirit falls on this group of Gentiles just like it fell on the Jews at Pentecost. Just like it. They begin speaking in tongues, just like that group of Jewish believers who gathered. And Peter cannot deny them baptism now. They are part of the family. So much so that they say, "Peter, stay with us a few days," right? Not just like come and give a sermon to us Gentiles, like come and lay in our bed, sleep in our house, eat around the table with us, and probably eating like a ham, right? Last night, we had a Cinco de Mayo celebration at Winborn, my wife's church, with the Hispanic church that meets in their building on Sunday afternoons, Iglesia Nazareno de Raleigh. The Anglo church brought their favorite Hispanic dishes, and the Latino church brought their favorite American dishes. It was a great time breaking bread and tortillas together. And I met people who have been in this country for less than 1 year, fleeing from corrupt governments and situations with little hope. The church has banded together to send necessary food to Venezuela and help people who cannot get the food they need there because of government blockages of food supplies. In that space last night, people's particular politics didn't matter. We were sharing in a glimpse of the kingdom of God together. It wasn't perfect. We're still in distinct churches. And it still takes a formal invitation to make this connection happen. But it is a massive step in a good direction. One of our measures as a church that we say we'll measure whether we are doing a good job at making effective disciples is this. It is that of accepting. And our question that we ask with accepting is, how am I building diverse relationships? Hear me. That question is not asking, do you know any people of a different race or different sexual orientation? It asks if you are building relationships with someone different from yourself, someone from another tribe. The United Methodist General Conference, it happens every 4 years. It's a worldwide gathering, and really it sets the table and the legislative agenda for our church. Our book of discipline that we follow, which I'm sure all of you have read cover to cover, I have, and I don't recommend it, but it comes from the General Conference. General Conference is the only body that can change that. We have delegates who go from our annual conference, the North Carolina Conference, to this every 4 years. So in 2016, it happened once again. And in 2016, once again, the first 3 days were spent arguing about human sexuality. And that's happened for like at least 20 years at General Conference. And so the people on the floor actually rose up and said, "Bishops, give us a recommendation to do something so that we don't do this every time we gather all together." And so the bishops did. They recommended something that they began to call a commission on a way forward. And they appointed 32 people to gather together. People from the furthest left to the furthest right from all over the world representing United Methodism to develop a plan called A Way Forward that they will present for a special called General Conference in February of 2019. Because the United Methodist Church has been internally conflicted about how to think about human sexuality for years, especially around homosexuality. So in February 2019, General Conference will gather in St. Louis to make decisions on a pathway forward. What is being considered of the highest value is unity together. And somehow possibly being able to remain unified even while disagreeing on interpretations of Scripture over this issue. I invite your prayers about General Conference 2019 and for our United Methodist Church. I think that unity is of the essence here. And I think when I've sat with a bunch of you in Bible studies and other places where we've talked about this, and we've started to say, this does not seem worth splitting over. This does not seem to be the thing that should drive us apart from one another. I invite you to consider this story of Cornelius and Peter as we think about it. That maybe we need to be in communion with people that think from other tribes. That maybe we don't need to always be sitting next to the people who think just like us. Because y'all, you know what? The people sitting right next to you in the pew and the people who are going to come to this table together don't think like each other all on matters of human sexuality, and yet we come to this table. So after 2019, that shouldn't change. That shouldn't change. And we can disagree on that. I'm hoping that that is the outcome of 2019, and you can pray along with me on those lines. I'm also happy to talk with any of you about the Commission on a Way Forward and its work. You can Google it, and there's a lot of documents and a lot of stuff to sift through because they've done a lot of good work together trying to work for the unity of the church, but also so that we can continue to focus on our mission of making disciples together and not spend hours upon hours upon hours arguing about this singular topic and get kind of stuck in the minutia of it. But even more than that, I invite us to consider what it means to move beyond being diverse and into being inclusive. Diverse has become a word to describe how different tribes are represented in the same room. Diverse is about measurables. Different tribes are represented here. We can fill it in on a spreadsheet and pat ourselves on the back. Diverse is about training programs at jobs that we are forced to do. Any of you probably have to go through diversity training every once in a while. Some of you work in HR and you're shaking your heads at it. Inclusive is different. When we pull up a chair for someone, we are being inclusive. We are inviting them into our lives, into our living rooms. We are inviting someone to share their stories, even if that is a far different story from our own. For we don't learn when someone's story is identical to ours. We learn from all of the differences of the story, and we see that the Holy Spirit is moving there, in the other tribe, in the one we thought we were supposed to hate. Amen.